Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of LEGIONPODCAST. I am Murray Fox, and this week I am getting into a new term, dissertations and yucky sports. I am reading the latest trade of the series Giant Days, and it is wonderful. It is a wonderful, wonderful series put out by Boombox, I think. And it is, it's done now. Like the issues, the singles finished, I think, in the spring. So it ran for like 54 issues. And the second last trade came out about a month ago, and I finally got around to picking it up, and I'm reading it, and it is such a good series. It's just so good. It's written by John Allerton.
Allison?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, him. I just looked it up.
Yes, John Allison, and he's British, He's done a couple of series. Like he writes and illustrates, or he can write and illustrate. So he did a series called Bad Machinery, which he wrote and illustrated, which was about a bunch of middle school kids that solve mysteries that are kind of wonky. Like one of their mysteries involved a giant onion person.
Okay.
And yeah, I won't tell you which one. You can all go find it. It's a delightful read. And I find his art is just beautiful cartooning. It's kind of wonky, but it hits my sweet spot. Anyway, so that was that series. But Giant Days is loosely related in that one of the characters has an older sister who has a best friend who is starring in this series. And it's mostly a series about a couple of girls that go to university, and it follows their adventures through their three years at university. I feel like each trade is maybe a term. And there will be 14 trades, so that would be 3 terms of 4, 3 or 4. Anyway, whatever. It's a university series. It's a bunch of, kids, young adults, learning young adulting in the middle of university. When you're leaving home for the first time and you're starting to make your own way in the world. And John Allison he's got like a wonky, sly humor to everything he writes. And he's been paired with a couple of great artists. Max Sarin is the artist who does the bulk of the series. And the art is just, it's wonderful. It's whimsy and it's funny. And it's wrapping up. There'll be one more trade that I'll get, I guess, in the fall. I think that's what it comes out, assuming that it's not delayed. But anyway, yeah. It's lovely. It is highly recommended. I like it. Paul likes it. If you ever read, I don't know. You know what? It's just like coming of age. I love all that coming of age stuff. So that's what it is.
When everything's ahead of them.
Everything's ahead of them, and they're all making their own buddies and their own families, and school is their life, and it's great.
It is a popular time for things. I mean, how many shows, comics, movies, books are that?
I know, and I've seen them all, every single one of them. Totally love it. Anyway, so that's me. I am reading Giant Days tonight.
There you go. Uh-huh. That sounds like a good plan for tonight.
Absolutely.
And, well, I am Al Sedano, and today, And I'm going to have to explain this in a minute because some people might confuse it. But today, I am an agent of heat. Now, it's I don't have a problem with Hal Jordan becoming Parallax. I actually thought that made perfect sense to me. So I have not joined Hal's Emerald Attack Squad. But I live in Florida, and it is August. So, holy equatorial according to the thermometer. That heat.
So you're a little sweaty?
It decides, apparently, I guess it's because of the tropical storm recently. So it's back and forth. It's either raining a lot, and then when it's not raining, it goes back to extremely hot and humid, like really hot. Like even the humidity, forgetting the humidity, you're just out in the sun and you're like, oh, wow, that's very hot. You can just feel it on you. You're like, ow, okay, that's hurting. Let's go inside. It is hot. This is the time in Florida where you basically treat it like you're living somewhere where it snows a lot. You stay inside as much as possible.
That is an experience I will have to experience someday.
You know, if you ever decide to do like the theme parks in summer, you will.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
No, that's why we
cement
don't
cement everywhere, sun bouncing off. Ooh.
That's why we don't do those things in summer. Summer is our winter here. It's like, no, let's hide. We'll go do stuff in October and November.
That's right. You can hide, but you don't have to worry about getting out there to shovel your way to the car.
No, that's good. It's a good time to go. You know what? I'm not going to go out. I'm going to stay in and, you know, watch something or read a comic or read a book.
Excellent.
Good time for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this week we are reading Legion 90. I almost called it Legion 89. Legion 90.
It's now
number
90.
12. That's right. Number 12. The book has been around for a year.
It Woo-hoo. Made it.
It made it. It made it through its first year.
Good for a brand new type. I mean, even it's a sort of spin-off series, but it's a brand new series.
Yeah.
Pretty much brand new characters.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, totally. And it made it. It made it. Our little baby's growing up.
Aw. Speaking of coming of age.
That's right. We've got Garen Beck on the cover. Looking horrified. He's horrified as the little emerald eye that he found last month is just kind of hanging out right beside him, zapping somebody to a green paste. Green dust.
See, I thought he was looking horrified because he's looking at the back of the eye and it's reflective and he could see most of his wedge hair is gone.
That's true. His wedge is not very prominent on this cover.
Yeah, it's pretty much just like, it's like a Garen Beck crew cut.
Totally. It's like he's shrugging his shoulders and he's pulling his hair right down into his into his little neck or something.
He's like, I let you cut my hair. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know.
Can you stop killing people long enough to fix my hair?
Yeah, totally. Because his hair will become a character in the coming months.
It's going to come back.
It's, oh boy. And then some. And then some. But let's get into it. So We open up with Garen Beck doing a 9-panel grid because it's the 90s now and Giffen is involved. And
it's very much like
a 9-panel grid.
It's very much like one of those confessionals from like.
Totally, yes.
Yeah, like Real World or something.
Yeah. And I mean, this is a great time to make use of the 9-panel grid because it's all conversation and we're just getting close-ups on Beck's face and his expressions and his feelings as he's talking to, he's sending off a transmission from their mission last month, which was to investigate this one remote planet. He is sending transmissions now back to Karen. So he's saying, the eyeball seems to have formed an attachment to me. It has a rudimentary awareness, though how far this extends, we don't really know yet. A tingling all over the body can be felt whenever it's near. And then the eye pops into the frame and Garen looks at it and is not thrilled that it's there. We're trying to run tests on it, so far with little success. We believe that somehow it caused the death of the Explorer's crew. When I found it, it was passing a low current through a corpse, killed by exposure when the hull ruptured. Sounds weird, but it's almost as if the eyeball were trying to jumpstart the bod. Go away, he shouts at the eye, because through these panels, the eye has just been kind of encroaching more and more into the panel space, taking up more and more of Beck's screen time.
If anyone out there has ever had a needy puppy, that's yes. what this is, basically.
That's what the emerald eye is. That's right. That's right. Give me attention. Give me attention. And once he yells at the eye glows brilliant green, and Beck is like, sorry, sorry, sorry. We can't chance landing it on a primitive world. I've canceled the mission. We're heading back to Cairn. And that's the end of that transmission, and then we get a full page on Docs there. We get our title page, Alone Again, or dot, dot, dot. And it's written by Keith Giffen. Alan Grant is doing the script. Barry Kitson's the penciler. Mark McKenna is the inker. Laverne Kinzerski is the colorist. Gaspar is the letterer. And it's all edited by Art Young. And Docs is listening to Beck's report, and he just says, idiot, 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 idiot. This could only happen to Garrett Beck. The man's a magnet for trouble. I don't know why the hell I put up with him. We were cellmates, escaped the Alliance Starlag together, and I've had nothing but problems from him ever since. Still, if it hadn't been for Beck, I'd never have met Lobo, and my dream might have died. Ah, well, other matters are far more pressing. Like our Lady Ghost, for instance. She appears out of nowhere, no knowledge of her past, ignorant as to how she got here, and her test results only add to the mystery. And then we get like a little computer printout, sort of what the computer has figured out about Faze.
It's very much like the first issue or two with the computer tyrants looking at them all.
Totally, totally. This is like, I guess, the same computer system, just not run by the computer tyrants. It's run by Docs. So the computer 50-50. Says, yeah, totally.
not 50-50. I meant 6-1, half a dozen the other.
Half
a
dozen thing. The other. Totally, totally. The computer has come to the conclusion that Faze is female with two blue eyes, and she appears to have possessed the ability to dematerialize her physical body, becoming phantom-like. The range of her abilities are unclear. Cool little things, like her heart doesn't really beat, it kind of hums.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, and when they investigate her blood, they find these unidentifiable drug systems in her body, and they don't know if that's like a result of vaccination or whatever. Her clothing is this all-purpose fiber, but it's a fiber they've never seen before. It's totally unknown. It's not similar to any fabric in the universe at this point. It's capable of generating thin, transparent, protective membrane. And I guess that would be like the 30th century transuit, right?
Yeah, I was thinking of the transuit. I always thought the transuits came from the rings.
I thought so, too. I thought...
And she doesn't have her ring, obviously, because they would say, hey, she also has a thing that lets her
fly. Noticed, hey. So somehow her ring... Well, it's not even somehow, because she was not Legion at the time that her ship blew up, right? She was just...
Yeah.
Tinya Wazzo, fiancé to the stars.
But, I mean, it's entirely possible, since they really don't get to do much with the rings in the five-year series so far... That maybe by this point the transuits were put into their outfits.
Could have been, yeah, totally.
And even though they're not Legionnaires anymore, that doesn't mean they could not be targets still.
For sure. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, there are any number of reasons why she might still be wearing her Legion uniform.
Kind of like how in that series Ultra Boy always has invulnerability on.
Totally. Yeah, for sure. And you know what? That makes total sense. If you... were a member of a super galactic superhero club, you'd probably want to have some sort of protection after you left the team.
Particularly one where you don't have secret identities.
Totally. For sure. For sure. For sure. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Works for me.
Totally. And while Docs is studying the reports, Stealth sneaks up on him stealthily and just kind of clears her throat. And he's like, don't you ever knock, Stealth. I'd like to knock you, Docs. You damn near traumatized that poor girl with your tests. Are you blind? Can't you see she's frightened and disoriented? He's like, that is enough. I am not answerable to you. And she's like, nope, or anybody else. Talk sense, woman. Oh, he has got away with the ladies. Very smooth. We can't afford to have her running around loose. We still don't know what part, if any, she played in the Derlin's disappearance. Besides, one unknown life form around here is more than enough.
Yep.
Nah, that's a very pointed comment. Mm-hmm. Now, unless you're planning to kill me again, I'd appreciate being left on my own. And she's like, ditto, you obnoxious bastard. And she stomps away. And don't slam the door on the way out.
It's kind of funny because, I mean, yeah, it did do a horrible, horrible thing to him. But because he's so abrasive with everybody.
Yes.
She's not like, if she had done that to anyone else, she would not be speaking to them this way.
No, you would like to think she would show a little bit of remorse, but she...
I think he's like just so frustrating to people that within 30 seconds you forget that and you're just dreaming about killing him again. Killing him.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Even though you already did it.
Yeah. Yes. They bring out the best in each other.
Yeah.
And once she leaves, Docs just sits there brooding again. After what she did to me, I'll never feel comfortable around her again.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah. You know, fair enough.
Yeah. Can't blame him.
Fair enough. There have been altogether too many unknowns to contend with lately. It's about time I got some of them taken care of. Perhaps the test the Derlin was running on Stealth before he vanished turned up something new. Nope, just the same old confusing results. But wait, new data? What? She's pregnant? No, I don't believe it. She can't be. Something else I'll have to deal with when the time comes. All right. Let's see what surprises Larissa's going to spring. Three worlds under active patrol besides Karen and Kalu. Better than I'd hoped for at this stage. And she's not resting on her laurels because she has her envoys out negotiating with many others. You're doing a fine job, Larissa. I'm impressed. And a shade jealous, perhaps? Nope, I'm just impressed. he goes out into the hallways and all of the officers out there just stare at him adoringly. Yeah. I will be with Commander Larissa if anyone needs me. Very well, Chief Doc, sir. And he's like, here we go. The stares, the whispers, the adulation for the great hero of Cairn. I feel like I'm an exhibit in some zoo view tank. But then that was the general idea, giving them a proper role model to emulate. Still, I must be cautious. Hero worship can be very seductive and very dangerous.
Well, that's a good segue.
Totally, totally.
Oh, no, I just went to the next page. I thought we were going to Talok, but never mind.
not quite. We just get to check in with the planetary champion there. So he talks to Larissa, and she's like, I've been expecting you, Vril. It's a beautiful night. Cairn wasn't a bad planet to choose for our base, don't you? Oh, get to the point. You're here because you want to take back control of the team. Very astute, Larissa. Also very wrong. I'm not reclaiming control. Not totally, at any rate. And I like how he's talking. He's not even staring at her. He's staring off into the distance, just very casually telling her that... he's kind of taking control, but not really, but sort of.
He actually has kind of a smile with her. It's like he actually likes her.
Yeah, I think he really does respect her, as we'll see.
Yeah.
She says, that doesn't sound like you. Your megalomania is usually more apparent. Don't be so childish. You're beginning to sound like Beck. And she's like, all right, touche. I went a step too far. I get it.
Yeah, that's wrong. I'm sorry.
No need to go crazy here. If you're pulling out the Beck word, I'll step it back. Actually, I've come to congratulate you on a job well done. You held things together when they could easily have fallen apart. I see no need for changes. She says, you mean I'm still in command? Indeed. Answerable to me, of course. I think it'll work out well. With you taking care of the day-to-day business, I'll be freed up to attend to other matters. And she says, Vril, the Derlin, have you... And suddenly he just gets super cold. No, I haven't. And he stomps off and he's shaking. And Larissa is like, what in the name of the shadows did I say? So, yeah, someone's got some issues.
Yeah.
He's dealing with some stuff. And then we see Stealth, who has been slowly forming this little friendship with FaZe, comes back and has a chat with FaZe. So how's it going? I don't suppose you've remembered your name yet. Nope. And very little else. I don't recognize anything from your history tapes or current affairs. It's as if I never heard any of it before. How about the basics? No problem with math. Language was impossible at first, but it's starting to fit. There must be something that'll spark your memory. You think so? I'm beginning to wonder. Well, don't give up. We'll find it, whatever it is. I mean, how many phantom people can there be? She says, that's what I'm afraid of. What if there's only me? And then we get an ad for the Adam Strange miniseries that we had kind of talked about last month.
Oh, last week. The three-issue prestige one, right?
Yes, yeah. So they're advertising it here, The Fall of Adam Strange. So, it's definitely coming out shortly.
And I guess going by this thing, obviously the universe has not heard of the planet Begitskull yet.
No, it doesn't sound like it. Phantom people are an unknown to them, so...
Because otherwise it'd be like, well, there's a whole planet of them. Maybe you're from there.
Yeah, totally. There's this, none of that is popping up. So at this point, Begitskull is unknown. Unknown. All right. So then we get another transmission from Beck, and he is looking, all sorts of things. He's distressed. He's upset. And his report says, I regret to report one of the crew has been killed. Hansen. He was a real officious type. Kind of like Brainy.
I was going to say,
Brainy Smurf.
They killed Brainy Smurf.
They killed Brainy Smurf. But before they did, they gave him a name. Hansen.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had a quarrel. I got mad at him. It must have picked up on my thoughts. Before I knew what was happening, it had punished him. Killed him. And Beck feels bad about it. He's looking down at the ground, and then the eye kind of floats in behind him. And he stares at the eye, and he's grunting and groaning. And the eye just hangs out there over his shoulder. Anger directed against it. Seems to have no effect. I've placed myself in isolation. I can't risk being with others. And I'm constantly trying to guard my thoughts. End transmission.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. And again, Docs just says, idiot. Yeah, things are not going well.
it's kind of like the beginning, like a horror movie kind of a bit, like a sci-fi horror movie. You just get these transmissions. It's like, we found a thing. We're, a little bit like Alien. You know, we found a thing.
Yeah.
We're going back to the ship. Ooh, someone's dead. Ooh, more people are dead. We have problems now.
Yeah. Yes, 100%. It's like... you get all kinds of movies and episodes and TV shows where you get like just little hints of the horror to come.
Or the guy being corrupted by it.
Yes.
Oh, there's a problem. We have this weird thing. It's apparently killing people on my command, even though if I don't want it to. And, they start going slowly insane.
Yes, totally. Alrighty, so Docs gets the report. He is unimpressed, and he stomps off and runs into Lobo, who says, hey, Fragface, I just want to tell you, I know you tricked me. There's no way you're good enough to take me fair. So reflect on this, Brainbox. When I find out how you tricked me, I'm going to rip your fragging head off. And he walks off, and Doc is just like, wonderful, great, excellent.
Everything's coming up, Docs.
That's right. That's right. And we go to the mess hall, and we meet Larissa, who hooks up with Strata. And she asks to join Strata, and she says, sure, make yourself at home, Larissa. What in the world are you doing? Word games, actually, says Strata. Now that we're a proper team and all, I figure we need a proper name. I've been playing around with letters, words. And what have you come up with? Anything memorable? I've got a bunch of neat abbreviations like Justice, Galactica. Thing is, it's hard to find words that fit. Larissa Maller, acting commander of Galactica. I don't think so, Strata. Do you have anything else? What's your own favorite? Like, what's maybe on the cover of this book?
That's a good way to go.
Galactica 90. Justice 89. Okay, how about this, says Strata. How does licensed extra-governmental interstellar operatives network sound? A bit of a mouthful, actually. Still, the initials spell out Legion. That's not bad, and it's apt, too. Legion. Huh. I think you might just have something there. That's good.
Well, yeah,
because we're not changing anything now.
It's been the title for 12 issues. It better be.
That's right. We've got licensing in place. We've got... Mm-hmm.
We've been soliciting for... We have solicited for at least the next few months, so it has
That's
to stick.
That's right. It's got to stick around. Acting commander, huh? So Docs is leaving you in place? Yeah, it surprised me too. He has to have some ulterior motive, unless... Do you think his death has changed his attitude somehow? Maybe mellowed him a bit? And then they both look at each other and say, nah, couldn't be that. No way.
Nope.
And then because it's been a fairly low-key issue, we get some random violence here. Lobo is practicing his fighting skills with a robot. He's having a workout as he rips off the robot's arm and says, hey, give that guy a big hand. Your move, Elmo. And from the ripped-off arm comes a little shooting laser gun. The old crush him with the right and blast him with the left, huh? Can our intrepid hero survive? I guess so, because Lobo just pounds his fist right through the chest of the robot and then pulls off the robot's head, and he says, I hope your boss is taking notes, Elmo, because next time I do this, it'll be with his fraggin' head. And at that point, FaZe walks into the gym. Oh, I didn't think anyone would be here at this hour. So think again, Toots. Oh, look, I'm sorry if I've upset you. Maybe we can start this conversation over. Do whatever you like, but don't include me. In my opinion, women are only good for, well, you know. And if you don't make an appointment, I'll come by and show you. And he walks off, and FaZe is just like, oh, this whole thing just keeps getting weirder.
So, oh, Lobo, he is, what's the word? Crass, at the very least.
Yeah, he's crass.
At the very least.
Totally. Now, it's still very early in Lobo's development, because I have a feeling in his miniseries, he would not have just finished with, in my opinion, women are only good for, well, you know, like he would have spelled it out in
graphic detail.
Graphic detail, I'm sure.
Until she punched him.
Yes, yes.
Totally. And she's the perfect person to do it, because she could punch him and then just FaZe and he can't do a thing.
That's 100%. That makes her the perfect foil for Lobo right now.
Yeah.
However, none of that happens.
No.
She lets him walk off, and she's just thinking to herself what a weird, weird world she's in. We get one more tender moment here between Stealth and Vril. She comes up to him and she says, Vril, we have to talk, seriously. And he says, I know. I know all about your condition. Oh, in that case, maybe you can help. I'm not sure just what to do. He's very, like, super subtle and understanding. There's only one thing you can do. Abort it. And she just gets, like, a look of shock. I'm sure you understand, Stealth. The group has enough problems without adding to them an unwanted child. Why you? You? You selfish, emotionless, cold-hearted excuse for a civilized being. Grow up, open your eyes. The last thing this team needs is to have a miserable brat foisted on it. And she slaps him and she walks away. Oh yeah, very mature. You'll make a great mother. Go to hell. No wonder the Derlin's gone. He probably ran away. Nobody could stay around a creep like you. And once she's gone, oh, we get emotions from Docs. Oh, we get emotions.
Yeah, those words hurt.
I know. I know. He's been, like, mashing this down for days now. She says Derlin. He says Derlin. And then he thinks to himself, ran away. And we start to see tears in his little green eyes. And then he just shouts out, no. And he has, like, a big old two-year-old temper tantrum. He couldn't. He wouldn't. Damn him. He owed me. He owed me. He owed me. And he's like tearing apart his little office. He's ripping apart consoles and he's throwing desks and he's having a like.
It's a tantrum. Full-on. It's a full-on 90s Johnny Depp hotel cell.
Totally. Totally. When he's done, his room is trashed. It is trashed. And he's just on his knees. You bastard, you owed me. And then we get a montage of of bastards.
Yeah.
And we get Stealth, bastard, it's you who should have been aborted, as she's leaning up, crying into a wall, banging her fists on the wall. And
yeah, it kind of looks like that.
Yeah, probably banging her fists. She's like, you know, raging.
Yes.
And then we get Lobo. Raging. Yeah, totally. Bastard, I'm going to kill him 100 times. And we get Larissa, who is too much of a planetary champion to use those words. So instead, she's just, what is that scheming mind of yours up to now, Vril Docs? And on the complete other end of the spectrum, we have Strata, who's like, Legion. Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all. And we have Stealth, or not Stealth, sorry, we have FaZe, who's continuing to just run through the gym, getting her...
Running away.
Yes. Getting her steps in for the day. And we finish with one of those little... we get the word team. A group of individuals working together with a common aim from the Pocket Dictionary. Because, of course, this... at the moment, is anything but a team. They're all pretty scattered in there.
Yeah. Although, actually, the closest you could probably get is for a team is people who hate Brittle Docs.
Yes. In that case, this whole page, they're all unified in that.
Because three of them are actively going, like, either hating him or trying to figure out what his scheming.
Yeah, what his scheme is, for sure. For sure. So in that way... yes, they're totally a team. They are, and to be fair, like 12 issues in, this is the closest they've been to like a team than they have been yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're getting there. They're getting there. And then we get the very last page, which is Beck looking distressed. His eyes are getting sunken and gray and this is like sad news. He's like, they're dead. They're all dead. Somehow it seems to have tapped into my dreams. And then everything kind of fuzzes out. And Beck comes back then. I crave its presence. I need it near me. And then everything fuzzes out again. And then we see the eye like right. Well, this whole time we've seen the eye just hanging out behind Beck. Really big, glowing green. I'm losing all my inhibitions. Ship on autopilot. I'm coming home. And then we get just black panels as we bid adieu to Sarge and no-named partner of Sarge.
Plucky idealistic partner.
Yep. We Yeah, we were wondering what happened to them. I had totally forgotten that they were destroyed by the eye off panel.
Beck is next looking issue. Very... Oh, sorry, go on.
Oh, no, go ahead, go.
No, I was going to say, he's looking, it's like it's feeding off of him.
Yeah, he is definitely, like, his face is thinner, his eyes are, totally sunken, he's not looking good, he's all sweaty.
Yeah.
Sweaty, and next issue is called Beck and I, or Eye to Eye with Lobo. So we're going to get some more Beck and Lobo.
He's coming home.
He's coming home. We're getting some Beck and Lobo moments.
Except this time he has power.
He's got backup. That's right. He's got backup. The letters column talks about how they had the Legion contest. What does LEGION stand for? And they had all sorts of people send in responses. Lots of people thought it should be law enforcement. And they decided in the end, and some of the readers decided to or pointed out that Dox's group isn't really based on law. Like they aren't upholding any written law. So it's not a perfect match. So they came up with licensed extra-governmental interstellar operatives network. So they didn't really get a winner from their Legion contest, but they got enough people that were close enough that they did pick a winner who got something close enough. Their winner was Pete Granger of Lowell, Massachusetts. And his suggestion was legalized extra-governmental independent operatives network, which is pretty, pretty close to what they actually came up, finished up with.
You said Pete?
Yep. Pete Granger.
Pete Granger, you out there?
Yes, Pete Granger.
If you're listening, please tell us. That'd be,
be cool.
What'd they send you, like a bald? I mean, I was going to say a baldy, but this is not a Superman title, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, got some artwork. He got some Barry Kitson, Mark McKenna artwork, plus a year's subscription.
Ooh, what page did you get? If you're there, I want to know what page you get.
Yeah, totally, because Mark McKenna's on it, so it would be after 3
Yeah.
Or after 2 When did we get rid of?
Or what page is. I don't even know how many they sent him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I'd love to know.
Oh, I wonder if it even is a page. It says an autographed piece of Barry Kitson and Mark McKenna artwork. So, yeah, it could be a page or it could just be like a...
Original artwork.
An original. Ooh, la la.
Yeah, what'd you get? Dude, what'd you get? Are you out
details.
There? Yeah. I want to know.
Tell us. That's about it for the letters column. They are remarkably... They let the letter hacks have there's not a whole lot of
answers,
responses this time. Yeah, it's mostly people just commenting on previous issues. They did get another request for, since the Legion may very well be an inspiration for the 30th century Legion, where's the substitute LEGION that will inspire the 30th century subs to form? And the editor just says, Mark, don't ask me questions like this. I've had a hard day. Yes, that's about it from the editorial department this time.
If there was a sub, Vril Dox would kill them if there was a subgroup.
Can you imagine?
He would just have them killed.
Yeah. He would not have the patience for that. He would. This is what letter columns were like, though, in the 90s. The editor is saying, I didn't want to do this, guys, but it's the grand old editorial tradition, so what the heck. The editor, as well as the proofreader and typesetter, would graciously appreciate typed letters, if at all possible, and your current typists aren't off the hook either, because we'd like you to have them double-spaced. Wow. Do you remember?
Like, yeah.
handwriting letters or typing and then having to double space type letters on like a typewriter.
Yeah.
Wow.
This was still before using the computer stuff was very common for everybody.
I know. Well, this, yeah, like this would be around the time that I was joining the APAs, and I was so jealous of the people that were like putting out these professional looking zines on clearly using some sort of computer, whereas I would like type and have to like white out my errors and then retype and then like cut, like physically cut out pictures.
I remember doing that, yeah, and like tape them and then photocopy it down
and then photocopying it. Well, first I would photocopy the comic, then I would cut out the picture, and then I'd like physically, because I was not going to cut up the comic. Like,
no, God,
there were no comics hurt in the forming of the APA. Do not worry, but oh, so much work, so much work. Oh, I had totally, because now, like, it's nothing to make a, I think nothing of making a little document with images and things being lined up and columns and, oh, to do like an APA thing, like with columns, was so beyond my typing abilities. Oh, my poor typing teacher.
Yeah, thank God I didn't do any of that until I was in college when I had the computer, a few years later when there was a computer lab, if anyone remembers that, where, because most people didn't have their own computer, so they had the computer lab where everyone can use the computers.
Yes. Yeah, that was towards the end of my university career.
So that's where I would do that. I would go type it all up there, and that way I can print it up.
Yes. Yeah, no, I would, the things I would do, I would, like, lug my giant heavy, like my typewriter was heavy. Anyway, I would lug it with me to school. I would type. I guess I didn't have to print it off because it's a typewriter, it just comes out. But then I would have to like find a photocopier, find a Kinko's or when I was working at schools, I'd have to smuggle it into a school and then and then photocopy it. Sorry, Forest Hill Public School, I used up a lot of your colored paper just so I could have beautiful fanzines. Sorry. However, those days are very different now.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm sure people are like, a computer lab? Why don't you just do it in your room on your laptop?
No kidding. No.
I even have a laptop. I had in early, first year or two in college, I had a word processor. All it did was the typing.
Yes. That documents. Was the thing, though. Yeah.
And I would save, it had a disk at least, so I would save it to disk and then bring it to the computer lab and print it up there.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
And occasionally school projects, too.
Yes.
On occasion.
On occasion, I would use the school lab for schoolwork, but only on occasion. Like, let's not be crazy.
It was unavoidable.
Oh my. Young whippersnappers out there, yes. We are old.
You have it good.
100%.
Now alrighty. You can just go on Twitter and talk to the creators, probably.
Totally. Oh my gosh. Oh, yes. Alrighty. Well, folks. Oh, we forgot to tell you. Paul is MISSING this week. Although I think he told us last week he was going to be gone.
Yeah, he did say that last week. He was going to be, he had to go on another vacation. I think it had been like a week or two since he went on a vacation. So, right. It was time.
It was time. He's had a week or two between vacations. So anyway, he is missing, but he would be sitting right here reading all of your lovely feedback. And he would be telling you if you wanted to send us feedback, you could send it to legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com.
All right.
Or you could go to the Facebook page and leave a message there. Perfect. Or you can go to the website, Legion of Substitute Podcasters. podcasters.com and leave a comment at the site by using the little tag cloud thingy. Yep. He would be telling you all this in a much smoother way than I am.
Or if you would...
Oh, go ahead.
Or if they don't want to do that, if they do like to use the aforementioned Twitter, I am on there, and I do post the episodes on there, so you can... I'm at Adam Thanos Pod, and you can make a comment on there when I post a new episode.
Perfect.
So perfect. Whatever you like.
And when I remember it, I get onto the Facebook page in the Legion of Substitute podcasters page, and I post the link there when I remember. He, which is sometimes infrequently. However, it'll be there. By the time you hear this, it'll totally be there. I'm sure. Alrighty. That is it from us this week. We will catch you all next. W-E-E-K! Exclamation mark.
S-E-E-Y-A.